That, let's look at our Bibles at Psalm 120 this evening. Psalm 120. I want to just start a series tonight. What I want to do, I want to do the series on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And it's 15 Psalms, Psalm 120 to Psalm 135. I call it Songs for the Journey of Faith. Those Psalms are grouped together within the book of Psalms called the Psalm of Ascents. If you noticed in your Bible, there are the Songs of Ascents, or the Song of Degrees. And I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. But it's something I've been wanting to speak on for a while. It's something that blesses my heart if we look at the Christian life as a journey and as we're pilgrimages going to another land. And some of these Psalms are negative. Some of these Psalms are positive. Some of these Psalms just center you in worship in the Lord. And picture, if you would, I begin with, let me read the Psalm. Let's read the Psalm first, and then I'll illustrate it and get into the message. Psalm 120, seven verses. The psalmist says, and I really believe this is Hezekiah, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Tonight we're going to talk about the starting point of repentance. The starting point of repentance. And picture, if you would, in your mind, I don't know about you, but when I go on road trips, I feel that road trip. Before kids came, I would fill that road trip with songs. A good song, you enjoy the trip, you enjoy the journey, and you listen to song after song after song, whatever it is you like to listen to, or podcast. I like that. I like listening to podcasts as well. But when kids came, it's Mickey Mouse and Frozen all the way there and all the way back, amen, to where it's just in your head and you're going, stop it, you know. But right now it's Mickey Mouse and Frozen soundtracks. But you take in the journey, and sometimes I can talk my kids into Bible school music from previous years, so that helps too. But you fill the trip with songs. The songs or whatever it is you're doing helps pass the time while you're going from point A down the turnpike to point B. And I don't know about you, but my experience is on the turnpike, you're wanting a good song. But many of us, when we journey, we do that to pass the time. It helps us along the way. And I thought about the journey of faith. The journey of faith from the time we get saved and to the time we get to heaven is like that. I thought about the moment we start this journey of faith. For me, it was August the 1st, 1996. For you, it was a different date. And the time that I was saved, to the time I take my last breath and go to heaven, that's the in-between. Growing in Christ, maturing in Him, learning from Him, keeping your focus, going to a new Jerusalem, a journey of faith. And He takes the experiences and the mountaintops and the valleys and everything like that to mold us and make us what He wants us to be. And I thought about that. This is discipleship. The idea of discipleship. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we live in America in 2020 in an instant society where we assume that anything worthwhile can be acquired at once. We assume that if something can be done, it can be done quickly and efficiently. And it's due to the fact that we live in an instant society. We have, you want to try to get from point A to point B as quick as you can. Everybody's in a hurry. You want to, by the touch of a button, you can get what you want to a lot of times. And we take that mentality in the life. And it takes a lifetime to build a home and a wife and kids. And yet so many younger couples, they want it instantly and it doesn't happen that way. Or you get out of college and you want the big job right out of college and it just doesn't happen that way. It's a building process. It's a growing process. It's an experience process. And I thought about this, and as it concerns the gospel, the difficulty is not getting somebody interested in the gospel. It's the ability to sustain the interest. Discipleship, genuine discipleship. When you're working with people, it takes time. But yet we got so much competing for our attention. We got so many distractions out there that we're so used to instant gratification and our attention spans get pretty short. And that's enhanced by social media at times. And it just seems like everybody's in a hurry, impatient for results. And, you know, like I thought about tour guides. When you take a tour guide, tour trip, some you want to hit the highlights. But genuine discipleship is not just the highlights, but the boring days, the mundane. It takes time and years and mountains and valleys. And the biblical language, when you look in the scriptures, the biblical language, you hear things such as we're pilgrims, we're journeying, we're passing through, we're believers who are people spending our lives getting someplace, which is getting to heaven, getting to the Lord Jesus. And actually, we're getting to God, and the path to him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the way to the Father, and we're walking this path of faith with Christ, getting to the Father's house. And Hebrews 12:1-2, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, that defines the program. We run this race patiently, laying aside every weight, laying aside the besetting sins, run it patiently, focused on him. So we're pilgrims passing through this life on a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're spending our lives going to God through Christ. The race is our program. And with this in mind, there is an old psalm book in the book of Psalms from Psalm 120, 134. In Hebrew, it's called the Shirei Hamaloth, but we know it as the Song of Degrees or the Songs of Ascents. If you look at the top part of your above Psalm 120 or below Psalm 120, you'll see my Bible says Song of Degrees. Your Bible may say Song of Ascents. It depends on which translation you have there. Both mean the same thing. And some believe that the Song of Degrees or Song of Ascents, you're singing them on. There are 15 temple steps as you were walking. Some people believe that. I personally think, and that, like I said, I can't prove that, but there are 15 of these psalms. Each one of these songs were sung in sequence by Hebrew pilgrims as they journeyed up to Jerusalem for the feast. When I was in Israel, I was reminded we're not going to Jerusalem, we're going up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem ascended. You were ascending to Jerusalem. For these people, as they were traveling, Jerusalem would they would go up the Mount of Olives, and Jerusalem would ascend up from there, or whichever way you're driving to Jerusalem. And topographically, Jerusalem was the highest city in Israel. And all who traveled to Jerusalem spent their time ascending. You're climbing. And three times a year, faithful Hebrews made that trip. The time of Passover and unleavened bread, then the time of Pentecost, and the time of tabernacles and trumpets and atonement in the autumn. Three times a year, Jesus and his disciples made this trip in his ministry. And I know no doubt that Jesus and the disciples sung these psalms as they were traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem for the feast. But of these 15 psalms, King Hezekiah wrote 10 of them, King David wrote 4 of them, and King Solomon wrote 1 of them. These 15 psalms can be divided into 5 groups of 3. It begins with trouble, then trust, then triumph, then trouble, then trust, then triumph, then trouble, then triumph. It rotates. So picture in your mind the Hebrew pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem as they're walking, and they're singing together. They're walking in groups as families, and they're singing together these psalms they've learned as children. They know by memory. They're singing. I don't know. We've just got the recorded words. We don't have the music. And they're leaving their routines of life, and they're going up to Jerusalem for a week-long feast. What they did literally is what we believers in Christ do metaphorically. The trip to New Jerusalem, the trip to heaven, acted out a life lived upward to God through Jesus Christ. That it advances. We're ascending. We're getting. We should be getting more mature in our faith. The older we get in the faith. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So this is the best background for understanding our journey and our adventure as we in Christ, believers in Christ, ascend on this faith journey to New Jerusalem. So remember, these are 15 songs for the road. It provides a way to remember who we are and where we're going. These Psalms, if you read them, it helps you refocus. It helps you know where you are and who you are, where we're going. These 15 songs are sung living in the in-between, the big events. I thought about this, in the in-between. Our life has a lot of in-between. Our life has big events, which only lasts for a day, the day we graduate from high school, the day we get married, the day our kids are born, the day we can go on, the day we get our first job, the day, you know, different things. Those big events last one day and are gone. And from that point to the next, we're in the in-between. And sometimes we can get so focused on that goal, we fail to enjoy the journey. And as we're enjoying the journey, these Psalms help us to know about the journey and focus during the journey. And they're songs of transition. It's from this world to a heavenly world, from the life of sin to the life of holiness. They provide courage, support, and direction for getting us where God is leading us in Christ. I like what Isaiah says, Isaiah 2:3. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us our ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hey, discipleship is a process that benefits in the long run. The goal is being like Christ, growing in him. Does not happen instantly. It's a journey. So as we examine these Psalms, the first one is here in Psalm 120. And Hezekiah, I really believe this, Hezekiah is writing this Psalm in the context of what happened in 2 Kings 18. In 2 Kings 18, the Assyrians attempted to invade Jerusalem. And if you look at verse 1 of Psalm 120, it talks about, in my distress, this was the Syrian invasion. They were trying to invade Jerusalem. And in verse 2 through 4, Rabshakeh, who was the orator, who was deceiving and lying to the people, he was history's first propagandist. In verse 5, he talks about enemies, ruthless like these tribes, barbaric vandals, the enemy outside, the enemy inside. And in verse 6 and 7, he tried appeasement, but Assyria wanted war. So he's writing that psalm on the backdrop of 2 Kings 18. The psalmist, they collected these psalms, put them together in a psalm book. Hezekiah was distressed when he wrote this psalm. And this is a prayer. And these psalms, by the way, they're not only singing to God, they're prayers. There's a good way, a good practice to pray the psalms. It's really strengthening your prayer life. But this psalm can be divided into three stanzas. You see the first stanza in verse 1, the second stanza verses 2 through 4, and the third stanza in verses 5 through 7. Let's go through these stanzas together in three points as it concerns, and I should have titled this was the starting point for the journey. I should have entitled this, I'm Fed Up, because the psalmist here in this psalm is fed up with some things. So my three points begin with I'm fed up. So let's look at it. Number one, here's the starting point, Psalm 120. Number one, I am fed up with the trouble and distress of this world. If you're fed up with the trouble and distress of this world tonight, say amen, because we all can say that. At times we just get fed up with things. He says in verse 1, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. I like that part. He heard you. The first song in our journey is a negative song. This is a very negative psalm. It's a cry. It's a cry out to God. This song isn't pretty. It isn't beautiful. This song is harsh. This song is raw. It's right out of the heart, and it gets us started on our journey. You look at this psalm, the first word is trouble or distress. The last word of the psalm is war. That's not a very happy song when you start off with trouble and you end with war. But it gets us started. And it's a song that's honest. It's a song of necessity. It's a song of reality. This cry, in my distress, in my trouble, I cried. That's the pain of the heart. You're sick of the lies of the world. You're crippled with the hate of this world. You're doubled up in pain over what's going on in this world. And this cry, this pain, it penetrates through despair and it motivates a new beginning. This cry begins a journey to God in a place not of this world. It's a place of life and peace that we look forward to someday in heaven in that new Jerusalem. In that world and in our world are submerged. We're in a culture of chaos, a culture of lies, a culture of malice, and we feel like there's days we're drowning in it and we're fed up with it. We look around, we can trust nothing we hear, we trust nobody that we meet. There's a dissatisfaction, there's a longing for peace and for truth, and this dissatisfaction with the world is our starting point. The preparation for traveling by faith to that eternal city. This dissatisfaction can set us on a pilgrim path of wholeness in God. You must be thoroughly disgusted with the way things are to find the motivation to set out on this journey of faith. We've got to be fed up with the ways of this world before we acquire an appetite for the world of grace. We got to be sick of this old world and sick of our sin in this world. And instead of complaining about the situation, we say, I cry unto the Lord. About a month ago, Jack Reese called me in my office, one of our missionaries. And we were just talking. Jack's been a good friend of mine my whole life. And when my grandpa died, it seems like he just kind of stepped in and he just calls me to check on me and, you know, check on the church and everything like that. He's a good guy. And I was telling him some stuff I was just complaining about. And I liked what he said. He said, now, have you told the Lord what you just told me? I said, that's a good point. That's a pretty good thing. When you get to where you're complaining about things, it'd be like, have you told the Lord what you just told that person? Sometimes we just need to tell the Lord that. And when it comes to the chaos of life and circumstances. So what's he crying to the Lord? He said, Lord, I'm fed up. People are crazy. And notice what he says. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. And notice what it says. And he heard me. Aren't you thankful for a Lord that hears you when you cry to him? I'm thankful for that. So I'm fed up with the trouble and distress of this world. Number two, let's look at verse 2-4. I'm fed up with the lies and deceit of this world. So he goes on. So in my distress, I cried to the Lord. So what's he crying about? What's he talking to the Lord about here? He says this, deliver my soul. Lord, I'm crying out to you. Please, Lord, deliver my soul. That can be a deliverance for salvation, and it can be a deliverance in the day-to-day. What do we want to deliver our soul from? Lying lips and a deceitful tongue. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil are enemies of our faith. And they deceive us with their lies. We've been lied to by our world. We're taught to buy into a lie. Things aren't right and they're not getting any better. But we naturally ask, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? And the world lies to us because the world is pleasant. Everybody's nice. If there's any negative, it's somebody else's fault. That's lies that we hear. And we think we're getting better and better, and we're lied about that, but we're actually getting worse and worse. And when we keep expecting things to get better and better, when we don't, as a culture, we whine like spoiled brats who don't get their way. We built up resentment that stores up anger and erupts in violence. What's the lie? Everything's okay. It covers up and disguises all the wrong in the world and the chaos. And the psalmist cries out to God like the Hebrews cried out in Egypt, deliver us from the bondage of deceitful lies. Deliver me from the lies of advertising, who think they know what I need and what I desire. Hey, deliver me from the lies of entertainers who promise a cheap way to joy. Deliver me from the lies of politicians who pretend to instruct and power morality. Hey, deliver me from the lies of the religionists who try to heal the wounds lightly. Deliver me from the lies of the moralists who pretend to promote the office of captain of my fate. Deliver me, Lord, from the lies of the false teachers who teach to do what you want so you're not inconvenienced. Rescue me, Lord, from the person who tells me about life and he deletes Jesus Christ from it. But you know what? Many of the lies that we hear are facts that claim to tell us who we are, but they admit everything about our origin in God and our destiny in God. These lies talk about the world without telling us about the God who created this world. They tell us about our bodies without telling us it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. They instruct us to love without telling us about the God who loves us and gave himself for us, which is the embodiment of love. Then we read the word and we hear the word of God proclaimed and we hear the truth. The truth, God made you and God loves you. Hey, the truth is God made others and loves them too. Hey, God rules the world and he provides for it. The truth is what's wrong with the world? Sin. The truth is the solution is in Christ alone. Christian consciousness begins in the painful realization that what we had assumed was the truth is in fact a lie. And notice the confidence of the psalmist's question here. There in verse 3. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done to thee, thou false tongue? What shall be given to you? What more shall be done to you, O you deceitful tongue? And it says, sharp arrows of the warrior with burning coals of the broom tree. Arrows in fire. Images of their evil lying words throughout scriptures, arrows of fire. God's going to punish these with their own weapons and their own lies, and the consequences would be worse. Arrows sharpened and shot by a mighty warrior, which is a reference to God himself. And it says the broom tree. Now, this is the desert imagery. When you're in the desert, we talked about this a while back in a series where the broom tree was that tree of shade in the desert. And it keeps you cool during the day. It kind of gives a nice breeze and a little shade in the day in the desert. But at night, in extreme cold, you can cut the branches off. And the coals of it, they burn the longest and they burn the hottest when you make a fire from it. And the arrows and the fire from this broom tree. So affix arrows to red hot charcoal and shoot back at them. They burn hot and long like a broom tree in the desert. And the psalmist speaks to them of God's coming judgment. It would be like a warrior's sharp arrows with burning charcoal from the broom tree. The rider did not have to attack his enemies. Hey, God will do that someday. They'll become victims of their own lies. That tells me, when you're disgusted with things, you're fed up with the trouble and the stress and the lies and deceit, hey, give it to God and trust him to work. The first step toward God is a step away from the lies of the world. We renounce the lies that we've been taught since birth and embrace the truth of God's word. So the starting point on this journey of faith to Jerusalem, I'm fed up with the trouble and distress of this world. I'm fed up with the lies and deceit of this world. Number three, I'm fed up with the chaos and hostility of this world. Verses 5-7, the third stanza. He says, woe is me. I sojourn in Meshech. I dwelt in the tents of Kedar. Well, Meshech is near Russia, near the Black Sea in Asia Minor. It's northwest of Israel. And Kedar was a nomadic nation. There was a tribe, but were nomads, in northern Arabia, southeast of Israel. They were a descendant of Ishmael there in Genesis 10, verse 2. And there was an analogy, it was an illustration. Gentile people consider in that day enemies of the Hebrews. Both of Meshach and Kedar had reputations of being barbaric and chaotic and hostile. They represent the strange and the hostile. He is saying, in effect, I'm surrounded by those not the people of God. He's saying, I'm surrounded by a culture that despises grace and righteousness. He's saying, I live in the midst of hoodlums and wild savages. He's saying, I dwell with people who are behaving like these people. He's saying, this world is not my home, and I want out. He's saying, I'm for peace. And I dwell with those who hate peace. When I start to speak peace, they're for war. There's a sorrow that he had to dwell among people who pursued war when he was a man of peace. Because if we know Christ, we have the peace of God in our hearts, and we naturally want to seek shalom or peace from that chaos that sin causes. And sin causes so much chaos in relationships and in life. Men are set against each other. We're taught rivalry from birth. The world is restless. It seems like they're always looking for a fight. Nobody knows how to live in healthy relationships anymore. Everybody's turned to their own way. We just want to divide us against them. And then we realize we're made for something better. I'm for peace. There's no confirmation of that realization in our environment. I'm all for peace, but the minute I say that, everybody else is for war. And I'm fed up. That's the starting point. So in order to get on that journey, a person's got to be fed up with their sin and the world around them and seek something better. And that's when the Word of God comes in. This is a starting point on the journey of salvation. This is a starting point if you're saved. We've got to hate the things God hates and love the thing God loves as far as this world is concerned. So Psalm 120, this first song of ascent, is a crossroads. It's a decision. It's a turning point. This marks the point of dreaming nostalgia for a better life to a rugged pilgrimage of discipleship and faith. Because, hey, discipleship and faith, the journey for a Christian is not an easy road at times. It's rugged. It has mountains. It's got valleys. And this is the starting point. A turning point from complaining how bad things are to pursuing all things good. That's what this psalm is. He says, I'm fed up. The decision, deliver me, Lord. We don't have to live there any longer. So what's the takeaway? What's the first words of the journey? I look at it this way. Repentance and faith set us on our way. Repentance and faith sets us on our way. Repentance and faith. That is accepting God's way and saying yes to God. The psalmist is looking to God for help and honoring God with his obedience. When we say no to the world's lies and yes to God's truth, repentance, that's the first word of the Christian journey, the Christian life. You look at through the scriptures, Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, John the Baptist, the first word out of his mouth, repent. Jesus in Matthew 4, 17, repent. Acts 2:38, Peter on the day of Pentecost, repent. Revelation 3, 19, Jesus tells the church, repent. Repentance is not an emotion. Repentance is not feeling sorry for your sins. It's not, I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance is a decision. It's a decision point. It's deciding that you've been wrong and supposing that you can manage your own life and be your own God. It's deciding that you were wrong in thinking that you had or could have got the strength, the education, and training to make it on your own. It's deciding that Jesus Christ is telling you the truth. A decision to follow Christ and become his pilgrim in the life of faith. You see this pilgrimage in the Bible with the fact where Abraham and Sarah leave Ur of the Chaldees. He had it good in Ur, and he goes on a pilgrimage not knowing where he's going. Hebrews tells us he's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. It describes a pilgrimage through this life. Same way with Jacob. He told Pharaoh when he was an old man, the numbers of my pilgrimage, the numbers of my journey. He looked for a city by his old age. You see it with Moses getting fed up with Egypt. The Hebrew author of Hebrews tells us, and he leaves Egypt. They're sick of where they were, and they had it made. Knowing something better, and they obey the Lord. Repentance and faith made possible through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the journey begins where you are, and you're fed up with where you're at. You're leaving, and now you're going someplace. You're going to God. The truth of God explaining their lives, the grace of God fulfilled their lives, the forgiveness of God renews your lives, the love of God blessed their lives, and there was a freedom released. You start the journey. It goes back to Pilgrim's Progress. When Christian leaves the city of destruction, he's fed up, and he goes on a journey. He don't know where he's going, and he's got that burden on his back. So that's where the journey starts. Then you go from this psalm to the one we're going to look at Wednesday night in Psalm 121, I'm going to lift up my eyes. Where's my help going to come from? I'm fed up with here, and I'm walking here, so where's my help going to come from? So in closing, and I'll be done, we must note the singing of this psalm, Psalm 120, as negative as it is, it would remind the pilgrims of their pilgrimage to Jerusalem and others would have liked to go with them. The singing of the psalm would remind the pilgrims that when they return home, they needed to carry some of the blessings from Jerusalem back home to those who stayed behind to help make life easier for them. And the singing of the song today for believers reminds us that worshiping, going to Jerusalem to worship God, hey, going through this life, that's a privilege. And the blessings we receive must be shared. So the question is, have you started this journey of faith? I trust everyone knows Christ as our Savior. But those of us who know Christ, are we fed up with this world? Are we longing for a home? Are we longing for a land made by God and a kingdom ruled by Christ? And that is a choice we must make as a decision point. So I look at Psalm 120 as our decision point.